Good morning, church. On this special Father's Day, I thank David, the father and the grandfather, to read the scripture for us this morning. And I'd like to begin our message time with a prayer to honor all fathers. I'd like to share a prayer by Kirk Lohman, which beautifully expresses gratitude for many kinds of fathers among us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for this time, for your grace, your work in our life. We also want to say thank you for all the fathers among us, or not with us. And we want to celebrate them through our prayer. Let us praise those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good model of a father, have worked to become a worthy and virtuous father. Let us praise those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. As well, let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by words and actions of their children. Let us praise those fathers who, despite marital discord, have remained in their children's lives. Let us praise those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has nurtured a thriving life. Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us praise those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Let us praise those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as they were their own. Let us praise those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guide. Let us praise those men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And let us praise those fathers who have died, but live on in our memory, and whose love continues to nurture us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greetings. I feel like I'm coming home, and I'm home now. It is a joy with you to be with you today. It has been over a year since I was last here on Sunday. I have been serving as a pastor of connections at a church called Bridge Church in Markham, very close to my home. By God's grace, God led me out of my banking career in 2022 back to Tyndale Seminary to complete my degree. I graduated a year ago in May last year, and I began serving full-time at the Bridge. Thank you for your prayers and encouragement throughout my journey. It has been a great time. Though I'm no longer among you regularly, I also pray that NCAC continues to grow in grace and faithfully serve God's kingdom. It is really a homecoming for me to come back here to share a message with you on Father's Day. Let's start. Is it working? Okay. So we pray for the fathers already. So on this warm and beautiful day, I'd like to invite you all on a walk with a father and son. Their name is Paul and Timothy. Many of us know Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles. He wrote many New Testament books. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, Paul refers to Timothy as my true son in the faith. So Paul, that makes Paul a spiritual father. And Paul gives Timothy vital, heartfelt advice. And these loving words also apply to us today. So let's take a walk with them and see what the spiritual father will be talking to us. And we'll listen carefully to the passage David just read for us in 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 21. And reflect on what God is saying to each one of us. In 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 21, Paul encouraged us with three main gentleness. But you, Paul is saying, but you. What does that mean? Paul is actually asking Timothy to be distant himself, to distance himself from the people described in the passage before. So what are those people? In verse 3 to 5, Paul described those people are the ones who believe being godly is the way to get rich. And in verse 9 to 10, he also refers to those people who give up their true faith for the love of money. And Paul told Timothy, run. Run from all these evil things. That's what verse 11 was talking about. Okay, the phrase, the men of God, sounds kind of weighty. It is honorable. But in fact, do you know that the men of God, this phrase, has been used only twice in the New Testament? And in the Old Testament, it is used to describe giants of faith like Moses, Samuel, and David. The original word for man is anthropos, meaning human being, not men in a sense of male. So this is also applicable to sisters, to female, to be a woman of God. Now my question to you is this. Why bother? That might be your response too. Why should I bother trying to be a man or a woman of God? Isn't it enough to just believe and attend church when I can? I do have a busy job and a busy family. I have my own burden and challenges to face. So I'm not sure if I can be a man of God, a woman of God. Now, why bother? Paul gives us three reasons why we should bother to be a man or woman of God. Verse 11 to 12, it says, fight a good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. So the first reason is calling. You are called by God. You are already a man and a woman of God by calling. So you are just doing what you are called to do. Second reason is mission. In the same verse, verse 12, it talks about you have declared so well before many witnesses. You are his witness. You need to witness him, his grace, his work, his mercy, his unfailing love. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 reminds us that God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. This is just a mission that we all have, to be a man or a woman of God. Third reason, we follow Jesus. Now, I bring up a different Bible a translation called ESV to show you the verse 12 and 13. It shows a very obvious parallel expression. So you'll see that my highlight say that, well, in verse 12, Paul encourages Timothy to make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses, correct? And then if you look at verse 13, it also says, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, what did he do? He also made a good confession before Pontius Pilate. So that is saying that what we are going to do as a witness, we are following the example of Christ. Your version, NIV or NLT that we just read, might not be able to draw you the same kind of parallel, but ESV is very close translation to our original word. And you will notice, you should notice that the confession, the word of the confession, is using the same original word in Greek called homoglobia. It means firm acknowledgement of a doctrinal truth. So we all need to profess the truth of God, just like how Jesus be a witness of God, we do the same. So three reasons why we should bother to be a man and a woman of God. Okay. Then Paul said, fight the good fight. That is a very important verse because Paul used a big, strong word, charge. It's almost like I put in a kind of a pointing finger at us because it urges us to, with like a very strong type of urging and encouragement. I'm not sure if any one of you have had a very heavy conversation with your dad or you as a dad that you have something very important to tell your children. So that is kind of the charge with a force, with a weight. So now our spiritual father, Paul, is charging all of us to fight the good fight for the true faith. It is a very strong exhortation from a father. I'm not sure about you, but normally I think a mother would be the ones that might give you a lot of advice every day. Very sometimes light, sometimes you already know, but she just keeps talking about it. oh, remember to wear the clothes, eat properly, sleep more, you know, all those things, you know. But dad usually would be less frequent in their talking to you, right? But when they speak, when father speaks, you will notice that it carries on a very different weight. Yes? So it happens to me. You all know my father, right? Here. So when he spoke and he has something to tell me, I will pay a lot of attention because he did not do it every day. And he would be very mindful to tell me something that is very important. And I think this is special about fathers. And I like to tell you that in this case, our spiritual father, Paul, has this charge to us to fight the good fight. Reflection. Let me ask you, what is holding you back from fighting a good fight to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness in your life? What is holding you back? Maybe, so Paul is also talking about you need to run from the evil things, right? The first 12 that we read. Is it the evil things that are holding you back? Is it the challenge that you're facing? Is it some kind of desires that might not please God? What is holding you back from pursuing a righteous and godly life? So that's a reflection. And what would you respond? Paul said, Timothy, but you, Timothy, be a man of God. And I wonder if Paul is coming right in front of you to say, Henry, but you, Henry, be a man of God. If I say, oh, Lee, but you, Lee, be a woman of God. Or, you know, Jeffrey, be a man of God. Then what is your response? How do you respond to our parent when they charge you with such a strong statement of exhortation? Okay. Philippians 3, 13 to 15 is also talking about we need to press on, fight the good fight, as we need to press on to reach the end of the race and achieve the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So a very important scripture also by Paul in the book of Philippians. Second advice from Paul to us is to be fat. Oh, really? Now, parents, especially traditional parents, they like to evaluate your wellness, well-being, your health by seeing whether you gain any weight. Are you getting fat these days, David? Oh, you lost weight. Are you doing okay? You know, so they are very concerned when you are not kind of gaining weight, right? So fat, I thought about this fat words when I think about a parent, what they would say to us. But here I don't think Paul is concerned about the weight gain of Timothy. Fat, in fact, stands for three important qualities that we need to uphold in our Christian life. Let me share with you. Fad is like F-A-T. So F stands for faithful. We need to be faithful. Are you being loyal and consistent with God, with others, and with the truth of His Word? 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 2 says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That's faithfulness. A stands for available. Are you making time for God and for His people? 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul encouraged Timothy to focus on just a few things: reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Similarly, we need to make ourselves available to God, who wants time with us today. Now, remember there was a little boy, Samuel, in the Old Testament. When God called him, he said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Are we available to respond to God when He calls us? Three, the T is about teachable. Are you humble and open to correction, growth, and spiritual maturity? 2 Timothy 1:13-14, it says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching. And then he also said, carefully guard the precious truth that has been trusted to you. So the word guard does not mean lock it away, that you just put it away and forget it. It means obey. So in order for you to be teachable, you're not just listen and forget. You need to apply. You need to obey. In Philippians 4:9, it also says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, our spiritual father, Paul. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Teachable. Now, self-check time. On a scale of 1 to 5, if I ask you how fat are you, then what would you say? What would you say about how faithful, available, and teachable you are today? Now, not only we are called to be fat, we need to be a fat teacher. Okay, oh, really? A fat teacher. Okay, I just try to think of the teachers here with us, like Leah and Matt. They become fat, a fat teacher. But no. Like that physical, like that picture does not leave my mind suddenly. But anyway, so sorry, I distract. Be a fat teacher is, besides being faithful, available, teachable, we also need to be a teacher. There are two quotes here, which I like. But throughout the book of Timothy, you will see a lot of times Paul actually encouraged Timothy to teach. To teach what he learned and to apply what he learned. And you might say, hey, wait on, I am not having a gift of teaching. Okay, but I don't think it just refers to the a teaching like a teacher with instructions. It also refers to how we live. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, be an example in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. If you're not good with words, at least you can live a good life and be a good example as a teaching, because your life is also a message to people. Oh, I love this quote. It says, follow a Paul and train a Timothy. Follow a Mary and train a Phoebe. So what it says is, you need to find someone as your spiritual parent or mentor to follow. But you also need to mentor or train someone. So your mentor, so we use the name like a Paul and Mary as the parents, and your mentee, Timothy or Phoebe, as your trainee or mentee. I love that this quote, because it reminds us always to find someone to follow. And you also need to find someone at the same time to train. And I pray that all of us here, not just selected, some of you, not just the leaders, not just our elders, but every single one of us, that God will reveal to you a person that you can follow and a person you can lead and train. Be a fad teacher. Number three. Be a faithful steward. Verse 20 to 21. Verse 20 especially says, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. What did God entrust to Timothy? Well, the passage did not say very clearly, but we believe that it's likely the spiritual gift mentioned in earlier chapters, that Timothy was having the spiritual gift of prophecies and teaching. But I believe Paul also refers to all the training and the instructions and the time invested. He, like Paul, invested on Timothy's life. This is also something God entrusts to Timothy. Do not waste it. Use it. Use it well. Be a faithful steward. Let me ask you then, what did God entrust to you? If you say, I don't have the gift of teaching, then what spiritual gift did God give you? I'm not sure if you remember, but about 3 years ago, here at the Sunday school, we have a class about shape. I was the one teaching, so that's why I remember. And then we were talking about you need to discover your spiritual gift, your passion, your abilities, your personalities, and your experiences. And they are all something that God entrusts to you. Are you being a faithful steward to what God entrusts you? And how did you spend it? Or you forgot all about it? Then I pray that you you will ask God to reveal to you again. Besides shame, I do believe that there are other things that God entrusts you. And I think we will have a time after this sermon message that we will have a discussion. What other things do you think that God entrusts you? Oh, okay. So that's a very pretty picture. Because we are coming to the end of our walk with Paul and Timothy. Such a nice view, right? We started off with a very grassy road, and then we end up seeing a very nice view. And I'm reminded of another father-child moment in creation. It is a time that God first created his first human being, Adam. It is the moment that God becomes our Heavenly Father to the humanity. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. Give us the original blessings of our Heavenly Father planned for all of us. And if you read closely to the passage, you'll see Paul's loving words to us today. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we can see how Paul's words draw a parallel resemblance to these blessings of our Heavenly Father. One, in verse 27, it speaks about us being God image bearer. And Paul says, be a man or a woman of God. Verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Paul says, be a fat teacher to grow and multiply by quality and by quantity. Verse 29 to 30 is about us being entrusted by God to be a steward, to take care of his creation. Paul says, be a faithful steward. What I learned from here is that Paul may be asking a lot from us today to be and to do, to be a man or a woman of God by pursuing righteousness, to live a godly life, to be a fat teacher. We need to be a faithful, available, teachable, and we also need to teach. And third, we need to be a faithful steward. All these askings and obligations seem to be heavy, but I want you to understand that these are the things that can restore who we are meant to be. We are reclaiming the blessings our Heavenly Father gave us from the beginning. At closing, I want to share a song with you. The worship team won't be coming up, but I want to share this song with you. It is a song about our close relationship and fellowship with our Heavenly Father in Jesus. And I want you to pay attention to the words and then just have that moment between you and Heavenly Father throughout the song. Say a prayer to our Heavenly Father if you want to. But I love this song, and I think it just talks about how deep we can be and how close God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be with Him every day.